Welcome to the LTC University Podcast. My name is Jamie Preston. I'm your host, and we're here today with somebody who's doing an incredible job at SC House Calls. We're here with Becky Cunningham. How are you doing, Becky?
Good morning. Thank you, Jamie. I'm doing great.
Awesome. Becky, give people your title and kind of what you're responsible for at SC House Calls, and then I want to get into your history in healthcare.
Sure. My title is Vice President of Partnerships, which is a very broad title, but it definitely fits the need and it fits me. Yeah. I'm definitely a partnership type of girl of, servicing people and their needs. And so I'd like to partner with them and try to find out how can I assist them?
Yeah, absolutely. And that, I'm sure that puts you in a lot of assisted livings, a lot of, places like that we partner with at SC House Calls.
Correct.
Yeah. And that's what I want to talk about today, the assisted living, because you have a very unique history and give people an overview how you got into healthcare and kind of your latest job before SC House Calls.
Sure. I have had the greatest career, Jamie, of being in healthcare. But I said when I was in college, I do not want to work with older folks. Mm. I have really no idea why, but I just had it in my mind. I wanted to do a different population.
Yeah.
And here I am, about 34 years later, and that's been the bulk of my career serving older folks.
Be careful what you ask for. Exactly.
So I think somebody else had a different plan for me. And actually, twice I've tried to get out of it, and twice I felt something tapping me on the shoulder saying, you've got to go back,
Yeah.
So I started out as a recreational therapist because I am all about the fun. And it was in skilled nursing care, which is, I was absolutely petrified, scared to death of. And from there, I grew into administration and marketing. And like I said, I've just had the greatest career and people that gave me a chance to see what other hidden talents I may have and talents that I didn't know that I had. And so I became an administrator. And I have opened up probably in my career of working with different companies, probably 25 plus facilities. I've done acquisitions. I've been an executive director. I've worked very closely in different services of integration from hospice to physician services to Part B therapy. So like I said, it's just been a great, great journey.
Yeah.
My last position was with Harmony Senior in Columbia, and where we had assisted living, memory care, and independent living for there for 2.5 years. I went there in January of 2020, not knowing that March 13th of 2020, we would be shutting down the doors for 13 months.
Wow.
And yeah. Jamie, when I tell you that that's something that administrators, executive directors, and they're still going through, it was tough because, you take that oath of taking care of these older folks, and during a pandemic, this is not like, we've had a norovirus in the building. This is not like you've had the flu or, right. You've had a hurricane, evacuees from the low country have to come up, stay with you for a couple of days. This thing is still going on. And here we are pushing up to that 3-year mark.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people ask me, did I, regret being down there? Because I literally lived down there. I took an independent living apartment and made it my home. And I said, absolutely not. I said, now, if I would have had, younger children, have been different. But it was the greatest experience. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that I was there to assist them and help them.
Yeah.
I actually got to go by there yesterday to watch some of the couples renew their vows,
nice.
Something I started years ago, and it was fabulous. One of them was celebrating 72 years. Another one was 70. Two others were like 55 plus years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a couple of them that live in memory care. They have spouses that might live in memory care. But I'm telling you right now, that commitment and love was still there.
Yeah.
So, again, these are the folks that I said back in 1984, 85, I am not working with seniors.
Yeah. And I, you know, I totally hear you on that. You know, it's you know, it can be, it's definitely a challenge, especially when you're in healthcare. And seniors typically have more healthcare issues, and it can be very challenging, to say the least. I know myself, I grew up, for some reason, I grew up playing golf with my dad, all of his friends who are older, and I just grew up around older folks, and I just love it. I love hearing the stories. I love hearing the experiences they've had and taking some of those experiences and being able to apply them to my own life. I just love being around older folks and just working with them. It's so fun. I know myself working, in the past with hospice and going to assisted livings and memory care units and sending out, I'm a musician. And so I would sit down at the piano, sing hymns and old Motown songs and just had so much fun. And it's just such a rewarding, place to be able to serve and be with those folks. So that's amazing. So Becky, tell us about what you're doing at SC House Calls, you know, this VP of partnerships, you know, and what you're doing, how you're really partnering with these assisted livings.
Sure. You know, I'm still trying to wrap myself around everything that we have to offer as a company.
Yeah.
And I tell you, what we offer, no other company does what we do, Jamie.
Yeah.
And I don't think that we're saying that loud enough or hard enough or whatever or knocking on doors, because it is incredible.
Yeah.
And for the services that we have, the talent we have, the educated folks that we have, and a lot of people feel like that, you know, we just go in facilities. We don't. The mm-hmm. bulk of our service is out in people's homes in the community.
Sure.
And we serve thousands and thousands of people. But for my job, it is to go back into the assisted livings across the state, work with our directors of growth development, work with our patient care coordinators, just to make sure that they've got the tools they need, but to be able to explain and educate assisted livings of these services that we offer. You know, especially that we're still in that pandemic mode, you know, to be able to service them there as opposed to going out to the hospital
sure.
or to an urgent care, try to get into their primary care, whatever, we are it. And it's such a convenience. I remember when my dad was in assisted living, and I had asked him to please, you know, look at the facility, you know, physician to be his provider. No, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. And I got out of him finally because I would get off work. This is his daughter. Go pick him up. We go to the doctor. We go to lunch. We go by the farmer's market. We go by the bread store. You know, it's like right. It was his outing. I don't, you know, regret that at all, spending that time with him. But for me to be able to do that as a daughter, it was hard, you know, sure. to get off work to do that. Finally, he said, okay, I want to, you know, sign up for it. And he did. And I can't tell you how that changed his quality of life because of his nurse practitioner coming into his building several days a week, being mm-hmm. able to, you know, take care of him, and for him to have that relationship with that medical provider, not me, but him, have that relationship. And that was what was important with him, because he was a relationship type of person.
Yeah.
So we are, you know, going back into, you know, all the facilities. We're, you know, taking a pulse on the administrators because they're tired, Jamie. These administrators are beat up. They're tired. They're worn out. And that's what I'm focusing on, is who are those administrators? And let me go love on you a little bit, because I have been in your shoes for right. numerous years. And I've also been in your shoes during this pandemic. And I'm going back to say thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for hanging in there. Thank you for all you're doing for these seniors. And you're doing a great job.
Yeah. Now, before 2019, 2020, you know, when COVID broke out, it was already an extremely challenging job as an administrator. There's no doubt. I've seen it. I know many people that were administrators or are administrators at different assisted living communities, skilled facilities. It's already a hard job, but then you throw a global pandemic on top of that, where the bulk of that pandemic affected those assisted livings and independent living, all of those facilities, you know, it made it even more gigantic of a job. And talk a little bit about the job of an assisted living administrator and kind of what they're responsible for. And so people can hear kind of, you know, what that's all about.
Sure. Well, you're definitely a leader. Yeah. You're a coach, mm-hmm. You're a director, you're a mother, yeah. You're a little bit of everything. And it's a 24/7 job. You are on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mm-hmm. And for the people who have signed up for this position, they definitely have the passion for it or the compassion. They definitely have the heart for it. And then that's what they want to do. They want to serve their seniors.
Yeah.
But on a day-to-day basis, you know, you're looking at budgeting, you're looking at staffing, you know, you're looking at, you know, cost of, you know, food, supplies. Mm-hmm. You're also going to look at your census, you know, sure. Is your census moving to keep, you know, residents in there, because that is the lifeline of your building.
Sure.
And so when you put all that together, you know, when you have families who don't understand, you know, their loved one living there and the regulations that go along with it, you know, I have a lot of people that would say, well, this is their home. They should be able to do this. Well, their home is regulated. I'm sorry, but it is regulated. It's regulated and it's surveyed and making sure that that these people are taken care of, which it should be.
Right.
So, you know, that's kind of the day-to-day part of it. Now, when you threw in the COVID 19 in on it, it changed almost daily, you know, because your company policies, when you want to do something, DHEC wants to do something, you know, the CDC wants to do something. Everybody's kind of like trying to understand this virus and how we're going to navigate in facilities. So, which led us to being closed for 13 months.
Right.
And Jamie, when you have a family member standing there at a window trying to talk to their loved one, especially with our memory care folks, you know, that was hard. I'm telling you, they would put a hand to the glass. You right. know, it's just, these are memories that will never go away for me.
Sure.
Never go away. The crying, you know, standing at the door, I want to see my mama. I mean, there's stories out there that need to be captured during this pandemic because it's tough.
Yeah.
So it was already tough, you know, at the day to day, but then on top of this, because they are still, some of them are wearing masks. There is some, outbreaks that are going on in buildings right now. It kind of surfaced this ugly head. So, you know, they're back to the deep cleaning measures and trying to keep everybody social distance and everything, but also to maintain a normal life.
Right.
You know, being Absolutely. A pandemic, but maintain a normal life in assisted living.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And because these people, they've lived a life. They've lived a full life, and they deserve dignity. They deserve, you know, to enjoy their life in that home. I mean, it's their home. It's not just a facility. I hear people, you know, we call it facility for lack of a better term a lot, but it's their home. It's where they live. It's where they socialize. It's where they have their activities. It's where they eat. It's where, you know, all of that. And it's just really important that they can have that dignity that they've earned, and they've, you know, paid their dues, if you will, you know? And so it's just, but having all of that, it just makes it so much harder. So tell me more, let's get a little more detailed. How is SC House Calls, what you guys are using, what you guys are doing, your services, how is it able to really affect an assisted living community or an independent community?
Okay. So with our primary care and then with all of our specialty services, including cardiology and behavioral therapy and psychiatry and I mean, we have such a whole nice menu of services there.
Sure.
And so I'm helping going back in to explain how would that benefit your facility, your resident, which we're having some great successes.
Yeah.
Great successes because, you know, the one story I told when I was in my previous position is that we had a dietitian to talk to a family member about their loved one and their diabetes.
Right.
Because they didn't say they didn't like our food. Mama wasn't eating, you know. And so once we drilled that down with a third party person who was a neutral person, that's when the family realized, well, maybe I shouldn't bring in those little Debbie cakes every day or the Coca-Colas and the potato chips, and, you know. And it's because, and the daughter told us, she goes, I think it's because I felt so guilty about her being there that I was just trying to give her something to give me the happiness and not her.
Yeah.
So once they were able to minimize the junk food and everything, now Mama is eating healthier and better. And managing her, you know, diabetes.
Yeah.
So when you have somebody give that focus like that and not just a broad kind of thing, that's where it really makes the difference.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm sure that all administrators would say, you know, from the old phrase of mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy.
Yep.
That'd be the same thing for a resident and the same thing for your family members. Your family members ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. And if your resident's not happy, ain't nobody happy.
Yeah.
So now you have the happiness like that, and for people to understand how to navigate through these services and the why behind it, that's where we've been making the successes.
Yeah. That's a great story. I remember because diabetes is huge. And I mean, typically there's probably a lot of people in assisted living that have diabetes. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think that's definitely and probably more so than it has been just because of the different types of foods that are available.
Yeah.
But it is very manageable.
Sure.
Very manageable. It just takes a lot of thought and somebody to help drive that.
Yeah. There was a lady in an assisted living that I used to go to, and her name was Pearl, and they would catch Pearl, who was a diabetic. Her diabetes was needed to be managed, and she would go in and steal sweets anywhere she could find them. She would take sugar packets. She would do whatever she could to get her sweets. And
that's
cool,
baby, Jamie.
Yeah, I know. It was just, she always cracked me up. She was a spitfire to say the least. So yeah. And that's great that you guys can work with a family, manage that, you know, with a dietitian. I mean, the services there are really robust, you know, because when, as an administrator, when you have to send somebody out of the building to their primary care provider, that's not just a simple trip, right?
It's not, for many reasons. One, safety. And if there's any type of dementia, you can't let them go by themselves. Plus, somebody's got to be the spokesperson as to why that resident, you know, came in there. I know years ago when I took my mother-in-law to a neurologist because she was having some issues in assisted living. And we go in, and the neurologist came in and says, well, hello, Ms. Cunningham. How are you today? She says, I'm great. How are you? And he's talking to her, and I'm sitting there with my head kind of cocked to the side. And he says, well, it sounds like you're doing great, so you just keep doing what you're doing. I said, whoa. Hold on here a second. Let me tell you a few things. And as I was able to explain it, he's like, oh, he said, that's a different picture that's been painted.
Yeah.
So you've got to have somebody, you know, to for the spokesperson.
Sure.
But what I love about us going into the facility is that our providers are able to talk to all the staff. It can be from activities to the director of dining services, you know, to the med tech, to the nurse. So you do get that a bigger picture. Are they sleeping? Are they eating? Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you know, you can be relying on others to give that information, and it's just not correct.
Yeah. Yeah. I know how my dad is. When he goes to the doctor, he shows off. Oh, I'm good. You went there for this ailment, you know, but you're not even talking about it, you know, so they, because they don't want to complain. They don't want to be complainers. And And so they don't want to talk about those issues. They want to seem tough. They want to, you know, and so you have to have those advocates with people. And that's what's great about it is, like you said, they are in the building. They can talk to everyone. They really get a good picture. Because when you have a really good picture, you can really do a better job of treating their disease process, whatever that is, and really provide better care.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and I go back to Jamie, my son. He taught me a lot. Being a mom in my career.
Mm-hmm.
And people look at me like, what? You know, but when he was younger, he had febrile seizures.
Mm, wow.
And so, you know, which means you're having a seizure from a hot fever, you know, very high fever. And so as we were, you know, working with a pediatric neurologist, I would go in with this tablet of, this is the time I gave Motrin, this is the time I gave ibuprofen, this is the time I gave his anti-seizure medicine, this is the time. I had all this down. He just looked at me and goes, can you teach others to do this? Because I feel like I'm full of teeth, you know. But I had it there in front of him for so that he could say, you no longer need to do this. You know, you've done everything. You've done it. Let's take off the anti-seizure medicine. Let's do this. Let's do that. Because I gave him the history, and that's so important to know the history. Now, it's not just the history of the current situation today.
Mm-hmm.
We like taking a deeper dive back during the day of these residents when they were younger. You know, what did they do for a living? You know, what kind of relationships did they have? And, you know, that makes a difference of who they are and what's going on with them now, believe it or not.
Sure. Absolutely. Becky, one of the positions that you guys utilize in the, you know, assisted livings and independent communities is you have a special position. It's not a provider. It's not just the dietitian. You have all of those things that are there to treat, but you have another position called the patient care coordinator. Tell us about that, because I think that's what makes you guys different than other providers coming into, you know, a facility. You know, tell us about that position and why it's so unique and so important.
Well, they will all tell you that that's probably my favorite position out of everything that we have.
Yeah.
I'm probably their biggest cheerleader, their biggest fan. And the patient care coordinators, I keep telling them, as I will be, you know, approaching retirement years here in the next 5-7 years, I'm coming after your job.
Yeah. Right.
Because it is, they get to have relationships with these residents, the family members, and the team there in the facility. They get to do a little bit of marketing and education.
Mm-hmm.
They get to do some visits with them, which is because they are a part of our medical team. They're part of that unit that comes in there.
Sure.
So they can do like an advanced care planning with them. You know, what are your wishes? You know, what do you have lined up for your end of life journey? They can do some other types of billable visits because they were medical assistants. But they can do the telehealth visits, you know, for any of these specialties that we have. And a lot of times in our facilities, you know, as administrator, I'll tell you, it's not like something would be, okay, Monday at 9 a.m., we know this is going to happen and we need to see a doctor.
Yeah.
That's not ever going to happen. So with having that patient care coordinator in a facility that's assigned there, that they know they have the direct bat line to, that's where it's making the difference.
Yeah.
Because things will pop up that they need to have somebody seen pretty quickly. And they can able to do that telehealth visit or get in touch with the provider that can come and make a swing through to the facility. So I think that position is absolutely just number one. I love it. And they like I said, they know that I'm their biggest cheerleader.
Yeah. And one of the things that I love, what I've heard about the patient care coordinators is, you know, we have telehealth now, you know, that can be challenging for some seniors that, you know, struggle with technology, you know, rightfully so. I mean, I'm a techie and I still struggle with technology. So I can't imagine, you know, for a person picking up an iPad or a tablet for the first time, you know, talk about how the patient care coordinators are actually able to help with those telehealth visits. I mean, they see a provider in the building physically, but they're able to get that quick care through telehealth as well.
Well, for a building, they might not have the nurse readily available or a med tech or somebody to do that with that patient at that time.
Right.
So we want to take that stress off the building. So with this patient care coordinator, it's exactly what they do. They're coordinating patient care.
Sure.
So they will go in there, do that telehealth visit with them. They've got the technology tools to do it with, whether it's through their phone or an iPad. But they take it another step to back to that med tech and to the nurse. This is what has transpired. You're going to be receiving some orders, kind of just get them tucked in
Yeah.
about what happened with that visit. Because again, we want to take the stress off the building. We don't
Right.
want to add to it at all.
Right. Absolutely. That's great. This is amazing, Becky. And we're gonna do some more podcasts about this and continue to talk about this service in, assisted livings, the people you guys are partnering with. Give for the last statement here, I want you to talk to administrators. What would you tell them, about SC House Calls? What would the final statement be for them?
Well, again, as I said earlier, I'm going to continue to go and love on these administrators and say thank you. Thank you for, because you've given up a lot, probably in your personal lives, to continue on, and don't give up the fight.
Yeah.
Let us help assist you in any way. A lot of these administrators do contact me personally, and I'm big on the Top Gun thing now. Talk to me, goose. If
Yeah.
I'm your goose, let it be that, because it's hard. It's really hard. And sometimes when you just can talk through something about what's going on in your facility, and then you have an aha moment, and you can, keep on going.
Yeah.
But we can provide so much service and support to the facilities to help relieve the stress. And I think that would be the number one thing, and to educate, your employees.
Sure.
I've never known anybody to overdose on education that ended up in some rehab. Have you, Jamie? I
No.
mean, educate, because our health care is changing every day. So it's important for us to communicate and to educate.
Yeah, that's great. Becky, thanks for all you're doing, for supporting these, administrators and the different teams within these, communities. Thanks for all you're doing at SC House Calls, spreading this word, spreading this great service. So thanks so much. We appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for listening. And if you could leave us a 5-star review, we would really appreciate it. Visit our podcast website at ltcuniversitypodcast.com. You can also subscribe to one of our other podcasts in our podcast network. The Disruptive Podcast with Scott Middleton, Experiencing Healthcare with Matt Staub, and the Thriving Practitioner Podcast. Thanks again for listening, and we'll be back next week with a new episode. Have a great week.